We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
No case of the Mondays. A little foggy, but that's okay. We're off and running. McNeil and Parkins on the Score. I trust you'll hang out, keep me company, keep me honest today. Shep, Tanny, myself, all here this hour, brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, MegaPros.com. Mac is with his father at the hospital. Unfortunately, not able to be here. But, yeah, Connor, if you don't mind, just come back in here for a second.
I'm Connor McDoing.
I've got two balls.
Yeah, Connor is here. I won't keep you for the whole segment. I apologize. You've already stayed late.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, the texters reminded me.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do something today.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can't do it without Mac.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure. Are we still on schedule to tell,
yeah,
to tell the story of Scorehouse?
I think so.
Okay. I just wanted an update.
I think so, but we're not going to do it without Mac.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So that's possibly as soon as tomorrow.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in a transition.
I feel less confident about it than we did the last time we talked about it.
Oh, really? What happened?
Yeah, well, you know, just life happens. We're not going to do it without Mac.
Well, no, I didn't want to do it without
Mac.
No,
understood.
I had forgotten about it.
No,
and then
for those worried, I know there were some people texting and whatnot. We're going to tell it with everybody. I mean, why would we tell
Okay, so it's going to happen.
Story with, yeah.
Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at you.
I'm not saying you are mad
at me.
Upset with
you. We want to start some controversy. We can just fight.
If we're in trouble.
To. Yeah.
Yeah. God, I hate you. He's so good looking. He can grow a full beard.
I'm going to leave now.
He's taller than me.
I can't grow a full beard.
He's better dressed than me.
What the hell?
He's got a mortgage and I still pay rent. All right, now get out of here.
All right, I'm leaving.
Get out of here. Okay, so there we go. Connor McKnight will still tell the Scorehouse story. He's waiting for Mac to come back. It might
Thank
be
you.
Tomorrow.
That was great.
It might be not. Hey, we got to the bottom of something there, Tanny. I couldn't answer those texters' questions if I didn't bring Connor on the air and get an update about it.
We were talking about it in the side studio during transition. I was like, oh, is this going to be the day? I was like, oh, probably not without Mac here. And that's what it was.
Yeah. So. Again, the simplest explanation is often the correct one, but I just wanted to make sure. I felt like the audience, I owed it to them to get an update on if or when he was going to tell the story. But yeah, so I talked about the Tampa Bachelor Party a bit in transition. I am a little sunburned today. It was a good time. It was a good time. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get back to work. We're like 10 days away from opening day. Is that right? Right around the damn corner. This is amazing. So I'm going to... Oh, you forgot your mic, Mom?
Connor's here again, everyone.
Yeah, have a good day.
Okay, well, tell the story already.
How many times is he going to leave? My God. Only wanted you to come back once. But yeah, so we're off. We're running. I'm taking Friday off, by the way, because this city doesn't fully embrace the tournament. That's what I've decided. Being on the air during the tournament in Chicago.
Is this preemptive basketball fever? Is that why you're taking the day off? You have college hoops fever?
I asked, I mean, you know, we got those comp days when we worked on, what did we work? We worked on, is it Labor?
President's Day?
President's Day.
And Martin Luther King Day?
I did work both days. I worked Dr. King Day and President's Day.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. So I got two comp days, so I figure I'll use one of them for the Friday of the tournament, try to, you know, set a Moscow Mules consumed record or something like that. But just, it's weird when you're doing a five-hour show in afternoons when all of the games are going on, but Chicago doesn't, by and large, care that much about the tournament like other places do. It's like, I'd rather just be watching these games and not sober and gambling on them without having to do a five-hour radio show. So I'm doing the remote Thursday in Lincoln Park, and then Friday I will be off. But
so you're not coming in because of sports? I'm confused here. Because you like sports?
I like sports.
Okay, cool.
I like sports, but not... It's just it's one of the weird things with sports that doesn't translate to this show. Like Cubs opening day, we'd be off anyway. But for the most part, if being on during a big sporting event is a good thing, but no, not this one. So I'm taking it off. Maybe I'll regret it. Maybe I won't. But yeah, that is You want to talk about privilege. Being able to use a comp day from your sports radio job because you want to go watch more sports. That, my friends, is the sign of a guy who's living his life right. And I am very excited about it. Texter says that Joe Lunardi makes over $2 million. There's no way that's true. I don't know what he makes, but we were talking about it a little bit in transition. This time every year, I think about that guy and that job and how awesome it is. Because there's really no consequences of being wrong. And you could say, Parkins, there's no consequences for you to be wrong at your job. And you're right. I'm wrong about things all the time. I've got a Bulls mea culpa that I'm going to have to issue at some point during the show today. So I'm wrong all the time. Sometimes the only consequences are, you know, a little bit bigger of a Venmo balance. I have to send my bookie or something like that. But for the most part, there's no real consequences. Our job is to just hopefully be entertaining, hopefully be informative, hopefully help your day go by a little bit faster, 5 hours, and, you know, the check comes in every other Friday. But we at least got to do 25 hours of radio, and it's year-round, except for when there's those blissful Cubs Day games. But Joe Lunardi, when college basketball season comes out, he does an early bracketology. Doesn't mean anything. No one holds it against him. Conference play comes. He starts doing a weekly bracketology projection. Does massive traffic for ESPN. But no one's really putting him on TV or radio or anything like that until last week, conference tournament week. And then he comes on through the tournament. So he's really like heavily worked for 2 weeks-ish. Because what is the bracketologist's usefulness once the bracket's been released and, you know, they've already played games? Like, Joe Lunardi's not going to be all over ESPN next week. They already have the seats.
Does he do, like, a CBI bracket projection as soon as the NCAA tournament's announced? He's like, all right, now let's project our field for the lesser tournaments.
I don't think so. I think he does a...
Because he's not picking games. He's not used for that.
I don't know. He's like the weatherman of ESPN, except the weatherman's got to work every day. He doesn't. And there's no consequences for being wrong. So it's just there's not that much of work. And it's kind of easy. Like, there's a 68-team field. There's, what, 38 automatic bids? 36 automatic bids?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So he's got to come up with the 30 at-large teams that make it. 20 of them are totally obvious, if not more so, right? Duke won the ACC tournament. Virginia's making the tournament. North Carolina's making the tournament. Florida State's making the tournament. Louisville's making the tournament. Syracuse is making the tournament. They're not hard to look at those ones. So fairly easy to fill out 20, 22, 24 of the other at-larges. There's all sorts of data out there. You just go to kenpom.com. It's free. And then you got to do some seating. But no one holds you accountable to that. And it's not like being our guy Paul Charchian or our guy Matthew Berry or Matt Miller or whatever the case may be. Because, okay, so you're Paul Charchian. People are betting on your results. They hold your misses against you. Like, my guess is Charch hears way more from people who he gave them, this guy's going to break out, and they end up busting, and that hurts their fantasy. Then he predicts a guy who's going to be great. He has a good season. No one sends Charge a residual check at the end. And it's like, good job. Thank you for helping me win my league. So my guess, you know, but the fantasy guy also, not totally year-round, not that complicated, totally subjective.
Except Charge, though, because Charge does, like, fantasy Oscars and fantasy weather and fantasy anything that you can possibly think up fantasy.
True. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not throwing shade. I love Charge. I don't love Charge as much as Mac loves Charge, but I love Charge. I think he's amazing at his job.
Danny hates Charge. Got it.
Yeah, put it out on the stream. And be sure to text Mac that out of context. That's what we need. But no, it's just, what a great gig. There's definitely more accountability for a fantasy expert than there is a bracketologist. And the bracketologist's season is shorter, and there's no real consequences if you get it wrong. You don't really cost anyone any money. And then the NFL draft analyst, that's a lot of work. Senior Bowl, combine, college football season. You got to be up on the NFL for team needs. that's a true year-round, 365-day thing. But like, Joe Lunardi doesn't have a side gig where he's an expert on tennis. Right? Like, he's just a bracketologist for ESPN. What a great gig. I think pound for pound, like, dollars earned for work put out and then, like, headache of the job. Do you think Joe Lunardi has the best job in sports media?
I mean, is that like the Allen Iverson argument that pound for pound or inch for inch, he's the best basketball player of all time because he was 5'10"? Like, yeah, it's a great gig and a great pay for it. Ultimately, would I sign up for that? Heck yes, especially with the paycheck that he gets. But, like, of all things to choose from, picking out, I'm going to be the guy that projects college basketball's tournament and who's getting what seed and what. Like, that's way down on my list of, like, dream jobs.
Okay, fair enough.
It comes in the middle, I guess.
Fair enough. I'm just saying, in terms of the hustle, the difficulty of the job, the amount of work of the job, but the exposure and the money of the job, that's a great gig. If Eli, I was joking in transition, if Eli, he puts in the work, he watches games all year round, he knows everything about all of these teams, he gets paid to talk about college basketball, and he makes money from his knowledge of college basketball by gambling on it. If he could then parlay that into a Joe Lunardi type gig, like that's the ultimate hustle. I don't know. I can't think of a guy who, in terms of money made, does less than Joe Lunardi, frankly. It's not that tough, and he's good at it, I guess. But is he better at it than Jerry Palm or my guy Jason Lisk at the Big Lead or anybody else who projects a bracket? It's like, oh, Jerry Palm, I had him on last night. He's like, yeah, I got 67 of the 68 teams. I was wrong on Belmont. Okay. Jerry Palm will be back next year at CBS as their bracketologist. He'll be totally fine. There's no consequences for it. It's just an awesome gig. Just a great gig.
What about being Francesa?
I mean, that's...
You get paid a ton. You don't have a thought on a lot of things. You count to 45 on the...
Quiet down!
Listen, and get paid handsomely. So much, in fact, that you have your own driver, Julio, to get you to work each day.
Radio has a power chair.
Francesa has an amazing gig, but he at least built his own reputation in his gig. Right? Like he's mailing it in.
Jay Leno'd it and was like, I'm going to come back. And
correct.
Exactly hard work that put him there.
Well, but even if Francesa's mailing it in and he does his show out of his house and he overcharges and overpromised and underdelivered on his app, and instead of doing 5 hours, he's now doing 3.5, and it's just guests and calls and not much else. He's at least earned that. Right? He did it for 25 years, and he still pulls huge numbers. So he's giving the audience something that they want that no one else is doing it quite like him. So he's at least an entity that is, even if he's a caricature of himself, he still is himself. Joe Lunardi could be replaced by Eli tomorrow. Eli would be able to project the exact same percentage of the tournament field. I don't know, man. And I'm not even hating. I'm marveling. That is an ultimate hustle. I think it might be the best hustle in sports media. Joe Lunardi. Text line 67011 if you've got a better one in terms of the hustle of Joe Lunardi. I would say it's the weatherman gig of sports media, what he does. Better than Matthew Berry, better than the NFL draft guy, better than Francesa. If you've got one, feel free to bring it in. Right now, by the way, if you hear Pat Hughes' call of the Steel Home, all right, and you're calling
Pat Hughes. I love Pat Hughes.
That's the guy. We're qualifying someone else. 312-591-6700. When you hear it, you win entry to be a finalist for Cubs season tickets. The final drawing is April 4th here at 1-2 Pru, presented by Sweetwater Tavern and Grill, newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile. And this Thursday, join the Scores midday and afternoon shows for a Dos Equis broadcast at McGee's Tavern and Grill for the start of the college basketball tournament. Bernstein and McKnight show will be live from 9 to 1, followed by us until 6. Stop by and get ready for the tourney with the Score and an ice-cold Dos Equis. Again, Max off today with his father at the hospital, so I'm flying solo. This is the show that picked both teams in the finals of the tournament last year for the show pot. We got to find some value for us all out there again this year. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. All right, you guys have checkmated me. Congratulations. Joe Lunardi, I've posited, has the best gig in sports media. He does other things. He's St. Joe's Radio. Thank you for pointing that out. But the bracketology gig is his main gig. It's a great one. No consequences for being wrong. Not used all that often. super high profile, work in and around college basketball, a lot of it's done for you in the form of automatic bids and obviousness. I think it's a great gig. Low pressure, low stress, high visibility, high pay in a field that he loves. So I posited Joe Lenardi's got the best gig in sports media. And then you guys come over the top with Michael Buffer. And you're right. He shows up, he collects his fee, he says his trademarked phrase, he adds tremendous gravitas to whatever fight or movie or appearance he's at, he goes home, and because he's trademarked the phrase, none of us can say the phrase. But you all know the phrase, and if we say the phrase, he gets paid off the phrase. Whew, that's a good gig. Just the fact that I even said his name, I'm guessing Shep's about to get a call from our bosses.
I'm getting very nervous just talking about the man.
Yeah. So,
if you ever want to, really put pressure on yourself, and I put myself through this 6 months or so ago, interviewing Michael Buffer and then being scared to you're referencing his phrase, but you're not saying his phrase, and then he says the phrase, and you're like, oh, we can't play. Oh, wait, he said it, so I guess he's probably not going to sue us if he said it. But, yeah, it is very nerve-wracking to try to do that without referencing it or at least not saying the words.
Can
we move on now, please?
So, at my old show, the 1 year I did Radio Row in Arizona, he came on the show, and we had him – he liked the interview, and we had him record liners for the show – and he was like, do you guys know what I would normally charge? This is an unbelievable request that you're making of me right now. I'm like, well, then you can say no. And he did it. And so we had an open of Michael Buffer announcing our names with his phrase, and we didn't have to pay for it because it was actually his. But our bosses wouldn't let us use it as a regular open, even though he said it, because he was so concerned that he would change his mind and it would backfire and the station would get fined. So we had Michael Buffer doing an intro for our show that he did, and we still only were able to play it like two or three times because our boss just got nervous. He's like, the upside isn't there. It's just not worth it. When you've got everyone running that scared of you, you're right. That, okay. My apologies. Joe Lenardi even tips his toupee to you, sir. That is well done. Shep, you called Michigan last year as a finalist. I had Villanova, the favorite that I loved. Wait, Shane Reardon just ran into the studio. He's the boss on site. Did I mess up?
Yeah, you did. He just said, what is Michael Buffer's little catchphrase?
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. But management shows up during the show. It's always scary. And then when you're talking about that.
Especially it's Shane, because Shane's never quiet when he enters a room. It's always Shane and he has something to say.
Well,
and even if he can be like, hello, I hope you're having a great day. But it scares the crap out of you for like the first second and a half that he starts speaking because it's always loud.
Well, we just did on the man who now I won't mention his name anymore. It's like Bomani Jones refuses to mention, he calls him Harvin Marison. Because he won't reference the receiver because he has a hit out on someone. He's like, it's just there's not enough upside in saying Harvin Marison's name. So the 90 seconds we just did on that man with that catchphrase, my heart's racing a little bit. And that's not just the palpitations from all the 5-hour energy and stuff and Red Bull and everything from over the weekend. But man, so Shep, do you have a person, a team that you're ready to say that you had 16-1 on Michigan last year in the finals? Do you have a team? And if you don't have one, it's okay. Do you have one?
I don't have one. Like, it's my theory on Michigan last year was looking at their region and picking one of the weaker one seeds in their region was part of the thinking behind that of, okay, which is the one seed that's most likely to lose? And then taking essentially, like, just because they were a 3 seed, probably elevated their odds a little bit there. And, like, kind of going off of that philosophy, just looking off of this, it's like Duke, you feel probably really good about winning their region. LSU's the 3 seed in that one anyway, and a ton of people are picking LSU to lose in the first or second round. Going down, Texas Tech is getting a ton of love. They'd have to meet up with Michigan, so our little Cinderella story, or not Cinderella story, but our 16-1 pick that damn near won the thing last year would be matched up against them. So I don't necessarily love Texas Tech, even though that's probably the one that sticks out the most. And I guess the wild card might be Houston, the other 3 seed in the Midwest region. only, what, three or four losses all year long. They did lose on Selection Sunday, lost their conference championship game. But that's the team, and Calvin Sampson has coached in the tournament before, obviously, with Oklahoma, led them to a Final Four appearance, and might go about it by doing shady ways. But that's a team that I know our own guy, Eli Hershkovitz, has been huge on, really, since the first day of the season. So if I'm leaning one way, it's either Texas Tech or Houston's one of those two. But I don't feel nearly as good about it as I did a year ago.
Texas Tech at 20-1, Houston at 33-1 on Bovada. Tech would have to go through Michigan and Gonzaga to make the Final Four, in theory, and Houston would need to go through Kentucky and North Carolina to make the Final Four, in theory. All right, Houston 33-1. I'm cool with that. Auburn, who Eli loves this year, also 33-1. We could just try to profit off of Simba.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
As a show. So that's the type of thing that is possible. To go, but we'll have to come up. Everyone's going to be betting on Duke is the thing.
Right.
Villanova last year was the favorite that I liked. They were what, 5.5-1. This year, Duke is 2.25-1.
Yeah. Biggest favorite since 2012 Kentucky.
Right. The Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Terrence Jones, Marquise Teague team.
Are you surprised by that though?
No.
For a team that's not 3-point reliant whatsoever. Like, they're not a team that can shoot threes very well. In today's basketball, it's just kind of strange to see someone that much of an overwhelming favorite that does that important part.
Well, we'll talk
pretty unremarkably.
We're going to talk about Duke and Zion and the Bulls' lens through which to view this tournament coming up. And they've made it must-see TV because Zion Williamson is one of the most entertaining things I've seen in college basketball. Tim Doyle at 3 o'clock. Max out to damn Danny Parkins. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.